for bearing with us. Please take your Bible. We'd like to turn to Genesis chapter 28, and we'd like to read verses 1 through 9. This is the reading of God's word. So Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charged him and said to him, "You shall not take a wife from the daughters of Canaan. Arise, go to Paddan Aram, to the house of Bethuel, your mother's father, and from there take to yourself a wife from the daughters of Laban, your mother's brother. May God Almighty bless you and make you fruitful and multiply you, that you may become a company of peoples. May he also give you the blessing of Abraham to you and to your descendants with you, that you may possess the land of your sojournings, which God gave to Abraham." Then Isaac sent Jacob away, and he went to Paddan Aram, to Laban, the son of Bethuel, the Aramean, the brother of Rebekah, the mother of Jacob and Esau. Now Esau saw that Isaac had blessed Jacob and sent him away to Paddan Aram to take himself a wife from there, and that when he blessed him, he charged him, saying, "You shall not take a wife from the daughters of Canaan." And that Jacob had obeyed his father and his mother and had gone to Paddan Aram. So Esau saw that the daughters of Canaan displeased his father Isaac. And Esau went to Ishmael and married, besides the wives that he had, Mahalath, the daughter of Ishmael, Abraham's son, the sister of Nebaioth. This is the reading of God's word. Now ask the pastor to come and bring the message.
Well, I'm tired and I haven't started yet. Well, let's come before our Lord, shall we? Father, we give you thanks for your word. We give you thanks, our Father, for the many lessons that we learn about people as we study your word. And we begin to realize as we look in the mirror of your word that we see ourselves. We see the messes that are made as a result of disobedience. We see the effort to patch up the mess that we make, and things seem to get compounded and worse. And Lord, as we look at your word tonight, we know the starting point very well because we've been following these people along, and we've seen their interactions with one another, and we've seen the shenanigans that they've been involved in. And we pray, Lord, that we would learn from your word, and teach us, Lord, that obedience to your word is always the best course. And indeed, for people of your calling, your choosing, your church, it is the only course of action. So help us to be found obedient in your sight, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it is a fascinating tale, isn't it? You have this family that is really at odds with one another. You have favoritism that we mentioned before, with Rebecca having her favorite, and then, of course, Isaac having his favorite. And then we have that birth promise. And you recall, of course, you need to go back and think this thing through, that here is Rebecca. She is not with child. She's with children. She's carrying twins.
Things are not going well. She's having all sorts of struggles, all sorts of discomfort, and there seems to be a war within the womb. And she cries out to the Lord, and she receives a word from the Lord, and the word from the Lord is this: you are carrying twins, and the younger of the two is going to be the master over the older. And of course, in the patriarchal structure of the family, the firstborn was the one that received the blessing. He was the one that received the family inheritance, and he had pronounced upon him the blessing by his father. And it was to be that way. But here's the situation, of course, where we have Isaac, who knew this, he understood that. And when the time came where he thought he was going to die, and it is rather fascinating, we mentioned that he thought he was going to die. He lived to be another 50 years beyond what he was at that time, and the Lord preserved him. He thought he was going to die, and he thought, well, this is a good opportunity for me to give the birthright to my very favorite son. And off Esau goes on the hunting expedition. And during that time, we see Rebekah. She plans, she plots, she schemes, and she has it all figured out. And of course, we saw last week, and we left Esau wailing. And we saw those verses where in succession we have Esau weeping and weeping greatly over the fact that he had lost the birthright. He had already lost it years before when he sold it for some lentil soup. And here was his opportunity to steal it back. And here was, by deceit, Jacob stealing what would have been his anyway. You see, if he left things alone, the birthright was his. It was going to come to him by the hand of God. We didn't need the fingerprints of Rebekah and Jacob on trying to steal the birthright. And so we come to this point, and you recall how the chapter ended last week. It was an unhappy ending. And as we read the last verses of the passage, we saw that Rebekah says to Isaac in verse 46 of the previous chapter 27, Rebekah said to Isaac, I am tired of living because of the daughters of Heth. If Jacob takes a wife from the daughters of Heth, like these daughters of the land, what good will my life be to me? And she saw the grief of seeing Esau, who had taken these wives, and they were pagan. And of course, we see the integrity of the faith is to be carried on through successive generations. And sometimes people don't understand that in our particular age. And sometimes even church people don't understand it. And they sort of say, well, my son's getting married. He's marrying a wonderful gal. She's an attractive gal. She's a great cook. She's a wonderful moral woman. She does all sorts of things. She's a skilled lady. She sounds just exactly like a Proverbs 31 lady. Oh, wow, she's not saved. But we should be satisfied that she's all of these things. But we shouldn't be satisfied that she's all of those things, because God has called us not to be unequally yoked. And as wonderful as the virtues are, as handsome as the brute is, if he's not saved, he's the wrong guy for a Christian gal, and vice versa. And so we see and recognize that this has brought great grief in the household and into Rebekah's life in particular. It's at that point where we see Jacob and Isaac having this conversation that opens our chapter tonight. It was fascinating. I was putting the thing on the sign the other day, and then I went down to the store, and a gentleman was there, and he said, were you the guy that was putting the letters on the sign at the church down there? And I thought, well, I didn't see anyone else doing that. And I said, well, yeah, I guess that was me. And he said, you must be a David Jansen fan from The Fugitive of years ago. And I thought, well, this doesn't play well, because there was The Fugitive with Harrison Ford in it. And if you go way back to the old days in The Reader, there was a story, The Fugitive. It was an excerpt out of Victor Hugo. It was on Jean Valjean. And that was years ago. So I don't care anything about what the sign says. What we have here is this scoundrel by the name of Jacob. Esau wants to kill him. How's that for brotherly love? And we have Rebekah in misery. And you see what happens when we take matters into our own hands and do things our way instead of waiting on the Lord, who is going to do things his way and would have done it his way all along. And so we have the misery that has come into the house. We have a miserable Rebecca. We have a frightened Jacob. And we have a frustrated old man who thinks he's going to die by the name of Isaac. And we have this point where Isaac is now going to give a parting charge to his son. You recall that Rebecca says to Jacob, you're going to have to leave for a few days. And the few days extends to 20 years. And it extends to such a degree that Jacob is not going to see his mom again. So this is part of the fruits of disobedience. Isaac calls Jacob. And it's important to notice something. He already blessed him. We already saw that. And notice how it starts. Isaac calls Jacob and blessed him and charged him. He gives him the blessing again. Now, it's rather important that we see that he does that, and we need to have the reason and rationale behind him doing that. And what we notice, first of all, is this. In seeing the displeasure of Rebekah's son Esau marrying these two pagan women, now we have Jacob taking charge and giving a charge to his son Jacob, saying, you shall not take a wife from the daughters of Canaan. When you start thinking through the book of Judges, which we concluded in our morning readings after quite a few weeks, they were a pagan tribe. You name the sin and they practiced it. They were Roman people at the time. You read in Romans, as Paul gives condemnation of his day, very much the culture. As Paul gives that condemnation, it is in effect a word of to Canaanites. Testament is the forbidding Jacob on certain terms. You are not to take from the daughters. You are not to mix marriage. You are not to take the first gal that comes along. Much later, of course, we read Samson. You remember that pleading of his parents, where Samson sees the girls of the Philistines. And his mother says, Samson, what about our own nice little Jewish girls here? And Samson says, Mom, the Jewish girls, that's for you that are from the 50s and 60s generation. Those girls are, you know, I want somebody that's groovy, right? I want somebody that's right in there. I want somebody that's making a fashion statement. I want somebody that when I'm walking down the street, everybody's going to gawk at my girl. That's the way Samson lived. And we shortchange him if we suggest anything else. He was a womanizer, and he was a scoundrel, and he had his eye on every gal around, and he needed to have his eye on the Lord and the covenant of which he was to live by. And that's exactly what we have with Esau. And Jacob doesn't want to repeat, and Rebekah doesn't want to repeat. Where did Rebekah come from? Well, the answer is found in rise and go to path from. Isaac was unstrained. The woman from the community to go far away if you're going to find. And this is what is given. The thing is that it's a charge that has this thrust to it. Don't bride. Don't family with on. And then he goes on. He gives explicit direction. This is where you're to go. Family, you're to go to the Paddan Aram. Thirdly, of Laban's daughter. Does it than that. That happens in your house. But that's pretty explicit. That's pretty hands-on. Didn't say exactly which one. This is where you're to go. This community, this family, every one of Laban's family will. And that is given to him to recognize as Jacob receives, he is to understand, linked to that the approval of his life, receiving the birth, receiving the has reminder that your life is lived under the eye of God. Years ago, there was a spiritual, and it was, I'm not going to sing it. We had trouble singing tonight. Oh, the singing was good. But my God is watching, watching, watching all the time, time, time. And that sentiment that came out of that spiritual, in actuality, marked our culture as Canadians back in the 50s and 60s and onward to a certain point. And then we've been in drift and been in bad drift ever since. When the Gideons came to our school, it was announced that the Gideons were coming the day before, and kids were excited. The Gideons were coming to our school. Can you imagine the school being excited about the Gideons coming today? But in the Fairvale Elementary School that I attended and tried to get an education, when I was there, the teacher announces, the Gideons are coming tomorrow. And everybody was excited. We all knew who the Gideons were. These are the people that bring the Bibles to us. And this was the kind of excitement that was a part of being in grade five in Fairvale Elementary when I was a kid. It was almost like a rite of passage. It was like as close as a Christian can get to a bar mitzvah. We're getting a free Bible. And the Gideons came. There were two of them. And the only thing I remember is that one of them was very tall and one of them was very short. And it looked rather strange to see these two because some of us were brought up reading a comic strip called Mutt and Jeff. And that's exactly what they reminded me of. What do you expect from somebody in grade five? And here they were, this tall, straight man, and this other fellow that was a little on the short side, and maybe he was too short to have the weight that he had, but there they were. And they stood before us, and they said, we're going to give you a Bible. We'd like to know your first name as you receive your Bible. And that was fine. So we all went up, and each row one, and so forth and so on. And because the teacher wanted to give me special attention in the class, I was the second seat in the first row. And so we went up. And at the end, I realized that the other gentleman was jotting down the names. And I thought, well, that was nice. And at the end of that presentation, they said to us, this is God's word, and we hope and pray that you will read it every day, and we have your names. And I thought, what's coming next? This. We are going to pray for you every day. We'll come back next year, and we're going to give the little Bible out to the next group of grade fivers that come along. But we want you to know we are going to pray for you every day this year that you will read this book. That had impact on somebody in grade five back then. That had real impact. This is really important. This is God's word. But we're miles away from that. But to have God's word was a real privilege. And to have the blessing given, the blessing of the Lord pronounced upon you, was of significant value. And to have the birthright given to you, as was given and destined to go to Jacob, was of tremendous value. To have all of that and to realize that Esau squandered it. And now, because of the cheating that went on, Jacob, for his own safety, has to go away, but also he has to go away in order to return with a suitable wife. And so he gives this parting charge to his son. But secondly, he reconfirms the blessing on Jacob. And I think it's important for us to recognize that he received the blessing by cheating, but now we have Jacob, in a sense, or Isaac, in a sense, confirming to Jacob, you do have the blessing. You didn't get it honorably. You didn't get it in a way that brings honor to God. You dishonored your father. All of those things are true. But that notwithstanding, he is the recipient of the blessing. It is important for him to know that, for Esau to know that. And so as we look at the passage that is receiving from the blessing, tremendous significance, and noticing he called, and it comes in a benediction form. It includes tonight, and as every church concludes, of the benediction, the reminder, God with a reminder that we go, the blessing of God, the reminder to the place we go, but we do read it from God. Each other all the time, some on Wednesday night, on Sunday, see each other whenever we read, but we are the sight of God. As Isaac is pronouncing this blessing, note, and once again, in school that receives all those years ago, great significance. What Isaac says, Almighty is you. Word in the Hebrew, some of you know that song. I think it's a Michael card. I forget. Al Shaddai. I think it's a little difficult. It has a little Hebrew line mixed in, and it's hard singing in English. But it gives us this picture. It's with you as your family, as you say, even though he was of Esau. That Jacob, going with the blessing, who is called God Almighty. You'll go out into the highways and byways tomorrow, in the store someplace, and you'll hear the name of God. You'll use God's name word. and they at their peril. If you were going to make, how many of you made up a commandment to protect your name? God did. When he gave the commandment, you know, as he signifies himself, this is a covenant, when God, I am the Lord, your God, then he gives the commandments. And in giving the commandments, he says this, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. That's not where it stops. Notice what he says. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not leave him unpunished who takes his name in vain. If you're sloppy with the name of God, if you disregard the name of God, if you dishonor the name of God, if you drag God's name through the mud and treat it as a common curse word, God will judge you for defaming his name. And we're to see both sides of the equation. We're to see the greatness, the great blessing that it is to have God with us. Periodically we'll sing as a hymn, take the name of Jesus with you. That's a nice hymn. I like that hymn. It's kind of a benediction hymn that reminds us as we go from this place, we're taking Jesus' name. We go from here in the name of Jesus. We go from here as his people. We go from here as his servants. And so Isaac is imparting this, and he's bringing this blessing upon the scoundrel Jacob. And he says, I'll shall bless you, he says, and make you people. But he says, really fascinating, and it's this. This goes, may God and make you and multiply you, that you may be a company of peoples. The word is seed, producing peoples. They've tried to freshen and write to have the read it from Hebrew. Do so in, that you would know that of the blessing that is coming. The people of God are going to multiply and multiply to such a degree, become not a people as though it was just one race, nation, but a of peoples. In other words, a nation. That's the good here in this little passage, chapter 20, coming from is not just a blessing that's going to go to Joseph on and on, but it's going to stop and that one family, company of gathering of. That's why when the great it's hard. You're to, and then you're to go, and then you're to most parts of the earth. You're to go. Every, the gospel comes to character by as stands upon this blessing, basic fraudulent way. His blessing is giving that he will know. So it comes of this. It's a blessing. Tells us seed of God's people will never ever be extinguished. One of these days, man, that Russia is good. One of God, his name to be and mocked here, decade after decade. Nepal's east emerging out of north. The fastest growing church is Nepal. The fastest growing beyond that is China. Busters is Mongolia. And phenomenally, you're never going to hear Peter mentioned, camera and say, Mongolia is spiritual growth and churches are being planted. That would be good news. We only deal with the pretty stuff happening. Though the capital of North Time was called the New Jerusalem, part of how far they, but it also serves, there is a sea of church in North Korea. Privileged to meet in the meeting here tonight. Underground church. And Bibles are going to them regularly. Bibles are being sealed and burned. Bibles are going through. The word is being passed and around and around. And we're to success. And we're to pray that one of these days, the communism in North Hall and this tremendous of Bible-believing, Bible-preaching churches that'll cover the and spread in on and on and on. Send some missionaries as we surely do need. But we see it. This of peoples. One one generation. Very specifically. The thing that we see in the blessing is that we see a reminder that he had truly received the blessing. Abraham. Abraham is brought into this. Thought that it would have gone Ham and then Isaac and then and that's it. The whole point that is Jacob is not himself. This is my you. We finding Jacob that was a blessing of God to Jacob. And so we given here, may the blessing Abraham verse, the blessing of Abraham, you and your with you, that you end of your sojourning gave to Abraham. And so we have this renewed, stored, more honorable way than to have Jacob sneak around and get. So we see that he's sing upon, we see the content that comes to, and we're to be reminded people we are uniquely. There's also a see in this blessing. Really does it continue? Remember something about that. You remember Saul was the king of. Now kingship continues. It's he was from the tribe and him. Where tribe between Jacob that is not found, the genealogy in Dr. Luke, and then of course in the Gospel of Matthew. And you see there's Jacob and there's David and there's Jesus. You don't see Esau and Saul and Jesus. You have this promise of continuum that is guaranteed. That's why we're to be always confident. God's people are never going to be extinct. You've heard by this time, of course, the story of Voltaire and all his threatenings and his breathings that Christianity would be wiped off the planet of the earth and there won't be a Bible to be found in Paris. And then another time he said, there won't be a Bible in the world. And then another time he said, there won't be a believer left in the world. And on and on and on he went. And when he died, his screamings on his deathbed could be heard out in the street below when he died, because he was dying alone. And he was going into a lost eternity. And he who spent his life denouncing God would get to know God in eternity. But the only aspect of God that he would ever know and knows even now is the anger and wrath of God. He would not have God in this life, and he most definitely does not have the blessing of God in eternity. And then, of course, the rest of the story is that that became a Bible story. God's not mocked. God will not be mocked. God's name went through the mud by the morality of a nation like ours. God will not allow his standard of holiness, which he calls his people to be, he will not allow this to go on indefinitely. He is a holy God. He cannot stand the sight of sin. That's why you remember Isaiah when he has that vision of God and he cries out, woe is me, woe is me. I am an unclean man in the presence of an unclean people. He was hit with the realization of the defilement of sin, the pollution of sin. And here we have Isaac blessing an undeserving character by the name of Jacob and saying, blessing part five, Isaac, Jacob, that's a good idea. And he went to Paddan Aram to Laban, son of Bethuel, the Aramean, the brother of Rebekah. He went to his uncle, the mother, Rebekah, the mother of Jacob and Esau. Now, out of the blue, Esau mentioned to him. And it's fascinating this way. An important lesson that has God in his life. He is of Isaac and Rebekah, but he has no room for families, doesn't it? Do you bring them up in the fear and admonition of the Lord? And you'll sometimes see how love the Lord of a family love. And then you'll see our other family, the boy and one girl, and the situation. Please know the heartache and heartbreak in children that the Lord are indifferent, but despise and the things of the Lord. Will not listen. And here Esau despised the things of the Lord. We see something in a man who despises and it's this. Does have a conscience, and he reads that he too wise from a pagan and brought into the house. He comes to that realization, I have brought mother. And that's it. And I speak, I don't have a mother anymore. I had a wonderful mother. And every Mother's Day, I feel of loneliness. And a love, a son, special. This man, and he has hurt his mother, and he's hurt his mother. When you're not conscious, boy, you're when you're not, you've hurt your mom. Because mom has a different claim on you than dad, and we've studied tonight. Story. And here is conscious of his mother. Esau is a natural man. And what do we know about? We know from chapter 2, verse 4, natural man received the things of the Lord. And Isaac, for Esau is to repent and repair and who created him. Esau does because natural, unregenerated man loved the Lord. He makes the matter worse. He deals with this humanistic way. Around, he says, oh, some dozen of priests, these pagans. And what does he He wives again. It's two wives. We mentioned it weeks ago now. That is not some kind of an old custom. It was the Old Testament, and it was banned in the New Testament. True. Never was God. It's not God's plan any more than same-sex plan. There's one man, one do they part. This is the plan of God. He does this. He takes wives. He marries wives. And now he's going to trust, seeing that his saying in verse 46, I'm tired. Now we have this conscience. Is verse 6. Saw that Isaac and sent him away to take for and that he had charged him. And Esau saw all of this. But now notice, you shall not take a wife from the daughters of Canaan. Jacob obeys. Esau saw that the daughters of Canaan, verse 8, displeased his father Isaac. So what does Esau do? There's never any repentance. There's never any father, what should I do? If he had gone to his father, hopefully his father would have said, I think two is enough, thank you. And what does he do? The natural man does not think spiritually, and he goes to Ishmael and marries. And besides the wives that he had, Mahalath, the daughter of Ishmael, Abraham's son, the sister of Nebaioth. This made things worse. And when we live outside of the counsel of God, we can try every plan and scheme in the book and then some. And it will always, always, always displease God. Well, maybe I'll try this. Well, maybe I'll try something else. Well, maybe this will work. And maybe, no, it doesn't. It's God's way. It's only God's way. There's no substitutes. And we see Esau, who should have repented and never repented. And we see the fruits of sin. And in all of that, we see the hand of God upon this undeserving character by the name of Jacob. Make no mistake, you and I who are in Christ tonight are not in Christ because we earned it. We're not in Christ because we deserved it. We're in Christ tonight because of his grace. And it is always because of his grace. We need to understand that. Our culture desperately needs to understand that. Esau didn't. And it begs the question as we close tonight, and as we think of Esau, the loser in life, and we know that he is the loser in eternity. And it begs the question, how is life going to write your story? What's it going to say? What's the end of your story? I don't know what the end of your story is, neither do you. It hasn't ended yet. And we're to be thankful tonight, particularly if you're unsaved, that your story hasn't ended yet, because the Word of God calls you to repent and believe. Something that Esau didn't want to do, have a heart to do, the exact thing to do by counsel and noticed there are very few of I'd Mr. Fix. Some of you might know there was a man and tell him to fix it. Anything. Lessons of life we need to learn in terms of the make for ourselves. We are no Mr. Fix it. Our sins, simplicity of those sins will make worse and worse and will make our harder and harder. The passage of time will be absolutely, totally indifferent to the Lord. That's the hard news. And the good that to the day of salvation. Passage of scripture that says the day of salvation. You look through scripture to say tomorrow if you don't. It says to hear his voice in your heart. Then Paul says today. Well, I can tell you the day of salvation when you turn and bow before and call upon him. Well, as we close tonight, Father, we see a man needed to flee to his fountains, needed to flee to his heaven grace, and Esau did not. Came naturally to the and drifted adrift. Lord, that you would speak to our and that you would teach us, Lord,
the foolishness of not accepting the things of the Spirit of God and regarding them as though they were trinkets, as though they were foolishness. We pray that you would speak to our hearts and that we would treasure your word, that we would treasure the Lord Jesus Christ and would follow in his ways. And we pray for those outside of Christ that you would speak to their hearts this night and give them no peace until they bow before you in repentance and are granted salvation in Christ. So we ask, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts and that you would not let go of us and that you would draw us to yourself. And we pray this in Jesus' name.